Please take your Bibles and turn to Malachi chapter 3. The last book in the Old Testament should be simple enough to find. We're coming to Malachi chapter 3, and it is a delight to be here again once with you. And we're looking forward to preaching. We're looking forward to preaching. I was looking forward a bit more until I heard who was going to be here, but nevertheless, it's lovely to see each and every one of you gathered out in the house of God. And let's just hear what God's word has to say here. Malachi chapter 3, and we'll read just the first six verses of the chapter. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through to 6. Here the word of God says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and shall purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hirelings in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his hand and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Amen. And what a note to end on. The fact that our God is the God who changes never, and who has never changed, never will change, has always been the same and will always be the same God forever. Perhaps we could just bow in moments of prayer. We'll ask for the Lord's help, ask for his Spirit to guide us as we seek to study his word this morning. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, Lord, we humbly bow in your presence. We thank you for another privilege to come before thee in prayer. We thank thee for this access to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that it's through his merit, through his shed blood, that we can come to thee in prayer. And Lord, the cry of our heart this morning is, "Speak, O Lord, for thy servant's here." Lord, I pray, give us hearts that are ready to receive thy word this morning. Break up any fallow ground that there might be within our hearts. And Lord, help us to hear thy word, and in hearing, do thy word. Lord, I pray, make us what we ought to be for thee. And we do pray that you would speak to us now through your word. We ask these things in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. I've always been fascinated by blacksmiths and people who have the skill to craft materials or craft things out of just basic raw materials. On YouTube, there's a channel that I like to watch every so often. It's called Man of Arms, or Man at Arms Reforged. And they make various different weapons from many different movies and TV shows as well, from Lord of the Rings or Braveheart, whatever it might be. And they try to recreate these weapons using modern technology and using the blacksmith's forge. Very interesting stuff. You might be thinking here, that sounds very boring to me. But they go through all the different stages of the manufacturing process and putting these weapons together. And in medieval times, the blacksmiths, they wouldn't have had all the fancy equipment that these fellas on YouTube have. They wouldn't have had all of these electronic machines. They would have had very simple tools. They had their forge, where the raw metals were melted down. They had their hammer, and they had their anvil, and various tools for then shaping the material into the desired tool of choice. And therefore, this is truly an amazing skill that blacksmiths had. They were masters of their craft, being able to craft anything from these raw materials, changing something which was useless in and of itself into something that served to fit a purpose. And in the verses that we have read here this morning, in Malachi chapter 3, we have read the references made to the greatest blacksmith of all time. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our Lord, our God. He is the refiner that we read of here in verses 2 and 3. He's the refiner who refines his people. And in these verses, we see that there is a wonderful prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 1, we see that the messenger of the covenant would come. We see that there was to be a forerunner to come, and that was John the Baptist, the Lord whom you would seek then being a reference to Christ. And both of these men, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ, they were foretold in the Old Testament. They were promised here in this book of Malachi and in many other places in the Old Testament. This was the Messiah that they were longing for, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God said of that day that Christ would come. He said in verse number 2, "Who may abide the day of his coming?" Who may abide the day of his coming? While the Lord Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of his people, came to do marvelous works here in this world, he also came to rebuke evil and to rebuke the wicked in this world, to separate between that which is precious and that which is vile. And as we read in Job 38, verse 13, he says there that it might take the hold of the ends of the earth and that the wicked may be shaken from it. That is what Christ came to do. Matthew Henry, he said that Jesus Christ, he came to shake the world that wickedness might be shaken out of it. Therefore, this morning, I want us to consider the refiner's fire. The refiner's fire. And I want us to see what we can learn from verses 2 and 3 and how we can apply these verses to our lives as Christians. And firstly, I would like you to see that there is the input to the refiner's fire. There is the input. Because in the metaphor here that Malachi has used, we see that he mentions materials like gold and silver. These are the input to the refiner's fire. He is not the only prophet to use this analogy. If you turn back just a couple of pages, you will see that Zechariah also mentions these materials. And he also mentions this process of refinement. Zechariah 13 and verse number 9. Zechariah 13 verse 9. There it says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." What wonderful words they are written there in the book of Zechariah. Before any material could be pure, before any material could come out as precious, it had to go through the refiner's fire. That is the input that the prophet of Malachi here is alluding to. If we think of our own state, if we think of our state as Christians, we are sinners saved by grace, but we still have that old man dwelling within us. We can make the application that we are to be the input of the refiner's fire. But there is also an immediate context to these verses, because Christ, he came to purify while he was here on this earth, through his teaching and through his doctrine. Whenever he came, the scribes and the Pharisees, they had perverted the teaching of the law of God. They were very rigid on their teaching, and so Christ, he came to correct their false teaching, because he saw them as religious hypocrites. That's all they really were. Matthew 23, we see that Christ, he rebukes the Pharisees and the scribes, and seven times in that one chapter in Matthew 23, he calls them hypocrites, a generation of vipers. And some believe that this verse here in Malachi 3, verse 3, where it speaks of the sons of Levi, some believe that this has a very literal fulfillment in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Because in Acts 6, verse 7, it says there, "The word of God increased, and the number of disciples was multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great number of priests were obedient to the faith." Those priests who served in the temple, those sons of Levi, because of Pentecost, because of the preaching of the apostles, they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They came to faith in Christ. Therefore, it has a literal fulfillment in Acts. But how do we apply these verses to our lives? How does this have any significance to us? Well, if we consider who the sons of Levi were, they were a tribe set apart for the worship and for the service of God in the temple. And in Deuteronomy 10, verse 8, we read of them being separated. The Lord said, separate the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord and minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. That was their calling. They were called to bless the name of the Lord. They were called to worship God and to serve in his temple. They were consecrated to be ministers of God. And what does the Bible say about those who are in Christ? What does the Bible say about those of us who are saved? 1 Peter 2 verse 9 tells us, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Ye shall show forth the praises of him who have called you from darkness into his marvelous light. We are a chosen people. We are a people chosen of God. Therefore, we are the input to the refiner's fire, just like the sons of Levi mentioned here. We need to be refined. We need to be purified. We need the dross and the sin in our lives to be purged from within us. Therefore, let us pray over the words in Proverbs 25 and verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. That's what we long to be as the people of God and as children of God. So we see the input of the refiner's fire. But secondly, I would like you to see the work of the refiner's fire, because Malachi here uses very strong language. Verse number 3 says there, the purify, they are to purify as silver, purify the sons of Levi. And that word properly, it means to make bright. And therefore, there are two ways that I believe you can interpret the refiner's fire here found in Malachi chapter 3. There's two aspects to it. There is the refiner's fire of sanctification, and there is the refiner's fire of affliction. And firstly, let us think of the refiner's work of sanctification, because we all know that sanctification, it is that work. When you're in Sunday school, that's the thing you have to distinguish between. Justification, it's an act. Once, that's it. And then sanctification, it's a work, it's an ongoing process. And my Sunday school teachers, they drum that into my head so well, I don't think I'll ever forget it. But sanctification is that ongoing work. It never ends until that day we are called to be home with Christ. It is that dying more unto sin and living more unto righteousness. Oswald Chambers, he had an interesting quote on sanctification. He said, sanctification is not my idea of what I want God to do for me. Sanctification is God's idea of what he wants to do for me. And how too often is that the case in our Christian lives? We believe that we know how God should do his process of sanctification in our lives. But are we really willing and ready to follow God's plan of sanctification for our lives? Even though at times it can be difficult, even though at times it will call us into deep affliction, are we willing to submit to the refiner's process of sanctification? J.I. Packer, he said that sanctification, it has a double aspect. There is that positive side, the vivification, growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it has that negative side, the mortification of sin, the weakening and the killing of the old man. And it is that second part in particular that the refiner's fire deals with, the killing of that old flesh that remains within us. In Isaiah 1 verse 25, we see that he also uses this metaphor of refining the people of God. Because there it says, I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. We know that the work of sanctification, it is an ongoing thing, as we have said. Therefore, it starts that moment that we are justified, and it ends in the moment that we are glorified. Until that time that we are taken to be home with the Lord, our sanctification will not be perfect. But yet, we have a mighty promise in Scripture. In Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. What a joy it is to our hearts, what a thrill it is and should be to your heart, dear believer in here this morning, that the work of sanctification does not depend on our strength, but it depends on the strength of the one who gives us strength, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need not depend on our own strength of will, but on God's alone. He has started the work in our heart, and he will continue that work in our heart until the day of Christ, until that time where Christ returns to judge the quick and the dead. However, this fact should not make us negligent in our sanctification, because he has called us to be faithful unto him. He has called us to use the means of grace, the word and prayer. He has called us to use these to go higher with him, to go on with him, to love him more and more, to fall in love with him each and every day. We are not to be negligent, but we are to strive after holiness and after purity in Christ. Because 1 John 3, verse 3, it tells us there that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Christ, that is our standard of purity. He is the one that we long to be like. He is the one who we long to be conformed unto. And that is the refiner's fire in sanctification. But as we said, there is two aspects to the refiner's fire. There is his work of sanctification, but also his work of affliction. It is another way that we can interpret the work of the refiner. And as we have said, what goes into the refiner's fire, it is that gold, that impure silver, which is a picture of us as Christians. And this work of purifying, it took time. The refiner had to sit there with the metal, waiting for it to be purified. And then the dross, all of those impurities, it came to the top, which then would be taken away by the refiner. And at times, the Lord uses the furnace of affliction to draw us closer to him, to purge us from our sins. Isaiah 48, verse 10, it says there, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." And it is in the furnace of affliction that the Lord tries his people, that he tries us as his children, so that we might come forth as gold, so that we might be vessels fit for purpose. And I wonder, dear child of God, and here this morning, are you in the furnace of affliction today? Do you feel the weight of affliction? Do you feel the fires of affliction all around you? Everything around you seems to be going wrong. There are numerous reasons why we face affliction in this life. It can be because of sin. But the most common reason that we find in scriptures, the reason for our affliction, it is to draw us nearer to the Lord, to make us depend more and more on his strength, and ultimately to display God's glory when we are delivered from that affliction. Turn to Job chapter 23. We know the story and the life of Job and how much he suffered. And in Job chapter 23, we read what his view of his affliction was in this life. Job 23, verse number 10. Job has come through great affliction. He has come through great sorrow in this life. Was it because of sin in his life? No. Job comes to the conclusion here in Job chapter 23, verse 10. "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." This is the conclusion that Job draws from his affliction. It was for him to be purified as gold. It was for him to come out the better for it. And this is why Peter, he writes in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Therefore, if there is trial in your life, believer, if there is affliction in your life, dear child of God, find peace and find comfort in knowing that God is sovereign over your affliction, and he can use this affliction to glorify his name, to further his kingdom, to usher saints into the kingdom of God. He can use you to glorify his name through your conduct in affliction. It was Spurgeon who said that the Lord, he gets his best soldiers out of the highlands of affliction. And if you are in the valley of affliction, if you are in the furnace of affliction this morning, take comfort in knowing that the Lord will never give you more than you can handle, but he will give you that which will be for his glory and for his honor. So we see his work in the refiner's fire. And lastly, I would like you to see the output of the refiner's fire. Because this brings us back to verse number 3, "He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." This is the goal of the refiner's process, to produce that which honors and glorifies his name. There was a woman who took a very keen interest in jewelry, and therefore she went along to a blacksmith or a jewelry maker. She made an appointment with this silversmith to see him at work one day. And as she watched him, she saw that he held a piece of silver over the fire to let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, the silver needed to be held at the very hottest point of the flame to burn away any impurities that remain within it. And the lady, she thought about God holding us in such a place. Then she thought again about this verse as the fact that God sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. But she asked the silversmith if he had to sit there the whole time while this process was going on. The man answered that yes, he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep a very keen eye on the silver as well. Because if he took his eye away from it for a moment too long, the flames would destroy that silver. And the sister, she fell silent for a moment. She then asked the silversmith, "Well, how can you tell when the silver is fully refined? How can you tell when it is pure and perfect and ready for use?" And the silversmith, he replied back to her, and he said, that's very easy. It's when I can look into it and see my reflection in it." And is that not the case in our lives, dear child of God? The Lord puts us through the trials of affliction. He puts us through sanctification so that we might be made and conformed unto the image of Christ, so that he might look on us and see him through our lives. The Apostle Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ." What a high standard is set there in those verses. To be a follower of Christ as Paul is, one who was shipwrecked for his faith, one who loved the Lord and served him, was persecuted for him, was imprisoned for him. What a standard Paul sets. But yet he says, be a follower of Christ. What a higher standard the Lord Jesus Christ sets. The Lord desires us to be holy as he is holy. It says in 1 Peter 1 verse 15, "But as he which is holy, which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." He desires holy offerings unto his name. He desires us as his people to be a holy and a pure people. 1 Peter 2 verse 5, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Christ Jesus." This is the goal of our refinement. This is the output of the refiner's fire, to offer unto the Lord that which is holy, that which is acceptable and pleasing unto him. How do we do that? How do we get there? We must go through the refiner's process. In Romans 12, verse 1, it tells us that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We are not to be conformed unto this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove that good, that perfect, that acceptable will of God in our lives. This is what the Lord desires for us. He desires us to be pure. God has commanded us that we are to offer ourselves. It is only our reasonable service. He's not asking of us something that is unthinkable. It is a reasonable thing he is asking, as we are bought with a price. What is that price? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Titus 2 verse 14 tells us, "Who gave himself up for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." This is the output of the refiner's process. Holy saints. Saints set apart for his service, that love the Lord, that want to serve the Lord, that want to do all that they can for their master, seeing the great love that he has bestowed on them. The refiner's fire will produce saints who love the Lord, who wish to follow him daily, to take up their cross and serve him with all love and with all grace. Ephesians 5 verse 26 and 27 says there, "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such, but that it should be holy and without blemish. One day, dear child of God, you will be holy, perfectly holy. You are holy today, but you will be ultimately holy. You're justified today. You will not be any more justified in heaven as you are right now, because you have been declared righteous in the sight of God, but you will be perfectly sanctified that day that God comes and calls you home. But holiness unto the Lord while we are here on earth, that is our watchword and song. That is what we strive for. We long to be holy, set apart to serve our Master. It is what we are purged from. We are purged from our sin. The refiner does this work of purifying in our lives so that we might present our bodies, so that we might live holy lives that glory in His name, that bring honor and majesty to His name. And that is the goal of the refiner in his fire. And therefore, I wonder, are you willing to submit to his refinement process? Even though you might be in the valley of affliction, even though you might be in the fire of affliction today, are you willing to submit to the refiner's process? And are you striving to be sanctified more and more each and every day, going through the refiner's process of refinement, so, as Job said, that you might come forth as pure and precious gold? Let each and every one of us pray for the grace of God to go through the refiner's process, that we might one day be presented unto him without blemish and without spot. Let's close in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank thee for what we have read from the book of Malachi today. We thank thee for the refiner. We thank thee for his refinement process in our lives as Christians. Lord, I pray, purge us from any sin that remains. Lord, purify our hearts. Let us be as gold and precious silver in your sight. Lord, cleanse us from all sin that remains within. And may we be brought forth as vessels fit for purpose. Lord, I pray, make each and every one of us as holy as it is possible for a redeemed sinner to be. And may we submit to the refiner's process of refinement. And may we find our joy in Christ. Lord, we do pray if there is one outside of Christ in here this morning who has never come to know the Lord as their own and personal Savior, Lord, all that remains and all that waits for them in eternity is endless torment in hell. Lord, we do pray that they would see the refiner, they would see his love that he had for them in sending Jesus Christ into this world to save them from their sin. And I pray, Lord, that they would accept that offer of mercy today. Lord, be with thy people this afternoon. May we honor and glorify your name. May we speak well of Christ throughout the rest of this day and give him all the honor and all the praise. And I pray that you would keep us safe this day. Keep us safe in the roads as we travel. And Lord, bring us out again to the evening gospel service that we might hear of the wonderful love of Christ Jesus for fallen and sinful men. Lord, I pray, be with us now. Bless each and every one of thy people. We ask this in Jesus' worthy and all precious name. Amen.